Well, it's a pleasure to be with you guys. My name is Andrew File, and I am the mission director here at The Well. I've been on staff for about a year and a half now, and it's been so fun to be part of this body, be part of this church. I was actually at Discovery last week, and just hearing the backstage of The Well, where we came from, why we're here, why we're doing what we're doing, is so fun. If you guys haven't been to Discovery, it really gives you a backstage look at why we do what we do and why we are The Well. And it's just so fun to be here. I came as a sophomore at Fresno Pacific University about 5 years ago, and I just noticed there's something different. And for a while, I went to my church in the morning and The Well at night and realized, like, God's fine if you go to the church at night. Like, you don't have to go in the morning. And so that was a good realization, and I called The Well home. Got plugged in, joined the parking team, and found my way into residency, got trained and equipped through residency, and somehow I'm here on staff. And so it's been a fun process, and I love what God's doing here at this church, so it's fun to be with you. If you guys were here last week, Brad brought up this idea. We put a pause button on Nehemiah, and Brad brought up this idea of Mission Christmas, this idea that Christ came, and there's something special about that. And I talked to some people, and they're like, really? It's November. Are we really already talking about Christmas? But we want to handle this season with some intentionality. We want to come in and realize God has something different for us. And the way we celebrate Christmas in this culture is just a little weird. And, you know, Brad talked last week about Christ and how he is coming to this earth is the greatest gift we ever have been given, the gift of Emmanuel, God with us. And he talked about this idea that we know Christmas has been hijacked by consumerism, by materialism, that there's this spirit, this warm fuzzy in you, which is created by advertisers then want you to buy their stuff, and they tell you if you buy, you know, if you love somebody, you're gonna spend a lot of money on them, and how much you love them is gonna be shown by how much money you spend on them, right? And there's that idea out there, and we just so often buy into it. But the Christmas story and God coming to this earth should radically shift. It should change our mindset, and we should walk away as changed people. And so Brad brought that intro, and I'm kind of going to expound upon that. Expound upon it because I think our society is just in need of a little eye-opening. We spend, the average American last year spent around $800 on Christmas. As a nation, we spent $450 billion on Christmas. $450 billion, which is mind-blowing when you compare it to the fact that we gave all of last year $260 billion to charity. So in one season, we spent $200 billion more on ourselves as a nation. That's really eye-opening. And in that season, none of us walk away, or few of us walk away with this, like, man, Christmas was so relaxing this year. I just feel so refreshed. We walk out stressed and tired, and tensions are high through the Christmas season. And as we reflect, we go, man, God had something different for us, and he wants to call us to that. And, we're all hoping for some kind of change, some hope. And so that's kind of what we're going to play out. Brad introduced the idea of spend less and give more, that one way we can celebrate and honor Christ this Christmas season is to spend less on stuff we don't need, stuff we don't even care for, and give more of our presence. We can follow the example of Christ and give ourselves and give of our time and our resources. And so my message today is really going to expound upon that. I'm going to give you those tracks to run on and to understand what you could do to spend less, what you could do to give more, and really help you in that idea and in that concept. And as I get into this message, I really hope you understand that I'm not going to be prescriptive. I'm going to be descriptive. And what I mean by that is I'm not going to tell you do A, B, C, and D, and you're going to be godly this Christmas season, because this is how you are a Christian this Christmas season. I'm not going to tell you that. I'm going to give you a picture of what it could look like, what it could look like to spend less, what it could look like to give more this Christmas season. So that's my goal. That's my idea of what we're going to do tonight. And so if you would open your Bibles to Matthew 2, we're going to read a familiar passage. And as I begin to share, I'm going to share some of my personal stories. And so just know that I'm just telling you a little bit of what I've been doing and what my family's been trying to do. We did this last year and tried to just be intentional with our Christmas season. And so you're going to hear some of that as we get into this. So Matthew 2, we're going to read 1 through 12. And, you know, that idea as we get into the Christmas story, as I read it, you're going to, you know, start to jump to the conclusion of the nativity scene. You're going to jump to your previous thoughts of what Christmas is and what it is about. I encourage you, we're going to, I'm sorry for all you moms or grandmas, I'm going to break apart your nativity scene. We're gonna deconstruct it a little bit today, so it's not going to be as picture-perfect and as picturesque as it once was. But the idea is to look at this with a fresh lens and go, man, what would Christ have us learn from the Magi? What would Christ have us learn from his Father who sent him as the most valuable gift we've ever been given? So we're going to look at that. So let's read Matthew 2, 1 through 12. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where Christ was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it was written the prophet, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. So obviously we jump to this, just this picture of what we've known. And so we, you know, and as we begin chapter 2, we see the three magi. Oh, wait, three. Let's look back there. There's not three. We had this picture of the three, but we get that idea probably from the gifts. There's three different gifts, so we figure, oh, you know, there's probably three guys. Each one gave one gift. And, you know, if you look at historically, this journey, as they probably took about, probably it was 800 miles, and that would take about 40 days. And so they had a lot of attendants to them. It could have been a big group of wise men. So this huge caravan, basically, is coming across from Babylon. 40 days just to get there. That's not the 40 days going back. This is a big expedition to come see this King Jesus. And so they come, and they come to see baby Jesus. No, probably not that either. We hear from other parts of the text, we know that Herod had every child killed in Bethlehem that was 2 and under. So Jesus could have been and probably was around 2 years old at this time that the Magi actually get there to see him. So Jesus is there. He's probably running around, you know, as a 2-year-old would. This huge group of caravan pulls up to their house. Jesus runs out to see them, and they fall down on their knees. They fall down before Jesus because they know that they're in front of a king. They know that they're in front of royalty. They're in front of divinity even. So they fall down to Jesus, and they give him these three presents. And so we go, oh yeah, that's why me and you give gifts during Christmas, right? Because Jesus received these gifts from the Magi, and so we follow that tradition. Well, probably not either. That's probably actually not the case. If you read in Genesis, Samuel, Kings, Isaiah, and Psalms, you see this idea that every time somebody approaches a king, they come bearing gifts. You were foolish at best and dead at worst to approach the king without gifts. And so this is just a cultural tradition that as you approach a king, you come bearing gifts. And that's not to say that the gifts weren't of value. We'll get into that a little bit. But it's to break down this idea of that's why we do Christmas the way we do. We could break down all the tree and all the other things that we do in Christmas that have no biblical basis, but that's not the point. And I really think we can learn from the Magi. I really think what they do and how they give really is a teaching point for us as we enter this Christmas season. If you've been in church talking about the gifts, if you've been in church, you may have heard that they gave the frankincense, myrrh and gold because they're symbolic for who Jesus was. Frankincense is like incense, and so it's rising to heaven and divinity of Christ. It's symbolic of Christ is divinity. They gave him gold because it's of value, it's kingly. And then they gave myrrh because that's used for embalming. And so that idea is that that's symbolic of Christ's death. And so all those gifts are representative of what Christ was and who he was. That could be the case. Probably mostly is the case, though, that what they gave was the most valuable thing their land had to offer. What they said, okay, we're going to go see this King Jesus. What we're going to bring to him is the best we have, the best we have to offer. Here is the best of our land and the best we can give you, King Jesus. Not only did they give him those presents, but obviously, like we talked about, they gave at least 40 days of travel one way, so that's at least 80. They probably gave 90, 100 days of their life to see this King Jesus. They gave costly things, possession and time. And that's an example for us, and I think as we approach, spend less, give more, that's the bracket I want to have, is that we look at the Magi and we go, that is our example of giving, that it hurt, that it cost them, and they gave Jesus their best. It's the same example we see from God giving his son, that God didn't give us another way. He gave his best, one and only son, as the example for us to say, here, this is giving. This is truly costly giving. And that's the example we need to follow this Christmas season of giving who we are and our time and our resources. And so I'm going to dive into what that looks like, but that's the context. That's the framework I wanted to set as we give into spend less and give more. If you guys wouldn't mind, what I want to do is to give you very practical takeaways. So if you want to pull out a piece of paper and a pen and jot some of this stuff down, you may get something, as I'm talking, get something running through your mind of, yeah, that would be good. My family could do that. I could do that. And so I'm going to give you some of those takeaways. So as we come into spending less and giving more, we need to understand that we're going to follow that example. We are not going to pledge allegiance this Christmas season to consumerism and to materialism. Our God showed us a different way. The Magi showed us a different way of giving. And as we start with the idea of spend less, the idea is that we do not need stuff, that Jesus is the only thing that satisfies. We know time and time again, we are so pumped on some item that we're going to get, and then we get it, and a week later we're like, oh, life's the same. This thing didn't fix my life. I still am who I am. Stuff doesn't satisfy, and that's the mindset we're going to take. As you begin to plan your Christmas season, start with the end goal. Start with, what do you want to see glorified? Do you want to see Christ and his kingdom glorified at Christmas? How is that going to feel? Sit down and just think, whether it's the 25th, 26th, 27th, you're done with Christmas. Everybody's gone. You are stuffed. You gained a couple pounds. You got that huge trash bag in your living room of wrapping paper. What is remembered? What are people leaving, taking away? Are you exhausted? Are you just dead? Are you frustrated? Are you tired? Or are you just glad that you got to spend some time with your family? You're glad that you got to Sabbath with the Lord during Christmas season. Reverse, so plan engineering, reverse engineering. You're going to start with that as the end goal and then think forward. Getting really practical, write out everybody's name. Write out all the gifts that you want to give, all the gifts that you feel obligated to give. Write out everybody's name. Next, set a budget. What's your limit? If you're going to spend less, you have to know at the end of the day what your bottom line is. What are you willing to spend? Maybe take that out in cash. We got $400. That's all we're going to spend this Christmas season and go from there. When you do that, you're going to realize you got to get creative because you got this huge list of people that you normally have to give to, you want to give to, and you got a smaller dollar amount. And so you're going to have to get creative. So I'm going to give you some items of what that could look like. And a challenge on spending less is, I would also say, don't use debt this Christmas season. That's just a thing we see in the Bible time and time again. Proverbs 22:7 says that the borrower is slave to the lender. We need to be slaves to Christ. We need to not owe ourselves to anybody else. And so if we can do that this Christmas season, that's a great way to spend less. As you begin to think through this, as you've set your, you've written out your list, you've set your budget, you realize you're going to have some conversations, right? You're going to have to talk to your family. You're going to have to say, hey, this is what me and my spouse, this is what I'm thinking. This is what we want to do this Christmas season. What do you think? Here's where we're coming from. We want deeper connection. We want God to be glorified. However you tell them, make sure you have that conversation because you got to have that conversation. And I know for some of you, as I already say that, you're like, oh my, this is not going to be good. I am rocking the boat. You'll be surprised at how responsive people will be because people are tired. People are worn out from how Christmas is done, and for somebody to propose an alternative is really refreshing. So have that conversation. I've had that in both sides of my family. One was very easy. One was like, yeah, we're in. We'll do whatever you say, basically. And then the other one was like, you know. And so what we've started to do is then the way me and my bride give shows a different way. And they're beginning to see that. We're beginning to do some intentional things that we can kind of, you know, say, hey, this is what Christmas is going to mean for us. And so have those conversations. So write out your list, set your budget, have those conversations. And now that you've decided, hey, I'm going to spend less. If you're not going to give that sweater, you're not going to give that toy that your kid opens and then plays with the box, you know, after 2 minutes, you know, you're like, oh, should have just got him a box. He would have liked that a lot more. If you're not going to give those things, what are you going to give? And here's where you might want to write some of this stuff down. As you get creative, become a kid again. Remember when you had Santa's secret shop? Remember when you're at school and you made a gift for somebody and you actually put your heart and your emotion, you wrote that note and said, I love you. You mean a lot to me. Become a kid again, so make something. That would be the first one. Make something. If your family's got some bomb recipes, put it together in a recipe book and give that out to your family so you can have your family recipes all in one place. One of my passions is photography. And so last Christmas, I just took a bunch of pictures and pictures that I had, blew them up. I went to the thrift store, bought frames, and put those pictures in them and gave them as gifts because for me, that was a way I could spend less but still give my heart and use my talents and gifts that I had. So make something. That would be one option. Give a relational gift. If you have a family that you want to give to, why not give them something like a basket that has, it's basically dinner and a movie or something. You could have pizza dough, cheese, all the things you need for pizza, homemade pizza, and then put in a movie, put in some popcorn. And because by giving, you are giving a relational gift that is going to help that family connect to each other. That's an easy way to give a great gift and to spend less. Give a gift of an experience. Take somebody to the Fresno Met. Take them to the zoo. Give them baking lessons. Give the gift of an experience and do it alongside of them. That way you are building that relationship with them at the same time. You are giving a gift of your time, of your presence, as we talked about last week. Give something from your heart. So often we go through the season, this mad season, and we don't even tell the people around us how much we care about them. We don't tell them how much we love. What if you sat down and just wrote a letter to everyone in your family and just said, you know what, I love you. Even your mother-in-law, you know, write her a note. And just say, you know what, I love you. You mean a lot to me. Here's the ways you mean a lot to me. Do that. That would make a big impact in their life. And it would actually be something during this season you could express your feelings and really make a huge impact. Give of your time. Figure out what it is and how you can invest in people around you. Give of your time. One of the ways me and my brother were talking, we're just like, man, what do we do for my dad? He's got a lot of stuff. He doesn't need more stuff. What could we do? We both live here in Fresno, and my family's in Bakersfield. And so what we did is a day of golf with the boys. And we gave him a gift last Christmas. And so we drove down to Bakersfield, and we had a round of golf that we paid for with my dad. And I can tell you that 5 hours with the boys driving down to intentionally see him was far better than two golf shirts or a NASCAR flag. Yeah, my dad's into NASCAR. Don't hold it against them. But it was far better that that golf experience was us hanging out, just us three. And it was far better than anything we could have given him because we gave him our presence. So give the gift of your time. And so remember, those are some options. I just threw those out there really quick. That is hopefully to get you thinking of going, okay, if I'm going to spend less, what kind of things can I do this Christmas season? We have a resource at all the campus iHubs that has plenty of websites that have all gift ideas. You can browse through those, find those. But that's just to get you thinking of going, what could I do? How could I understand that stuff does not equal happiness, that I've bought into the myth of consumerism and materialism, and we need to break that culture. We need to say, we need to give like the Magi, give like Christ, and give like his son. And as we talk about giving more, the idea there is that we would spend less this Christmas season, so we tighten our budget for sure. And then with that excess that we have from last year, we would just give it away. As Christ opened his kingdom in Luke, you see him, the very first thing he does, he comes into the synagogue, takes the scroll, Isaiah 61, reads it, and stands up before everybody and goes, I'm starting my kingdom today. Here's what it looks like. I'm going to, basically take care of the poor. I'm going to release the captives. I'm going to set the captives free. That's the beginning of Christ's kingdom. It said, I am going to help the poor and those outside that are really just taken advantage of. How is your giving this Christmas season going to change those in Fresno, those in the United States, those in this world? Because I know it can. I know your Christmas giving can really change this world. And so that's the idea, is we want to spend less on stuff and give. Give to amazing causes in this city and in this world. And so what is that going to look like? I don't know. One of the things we as the church are going to do is Mission Christmas. So we took the idea and then applied it directly down in the thrift store. If you have been here for a while, we've done Mission Christmas for the past 7 years as a church. And what we've done is we've partnered families from the north, or from the, you know, well as a whole, with families at our target neighborhood, Susan B. Anthony. So we partnered those families. Families as a body could provide a Christmas, whether it was clothes, toys, food, and a Christmas tree for families in the downtown neighborhoods in Fresno. And so we partnered those families, and it was a really good thing. We made some really good connections. But what we got to see is some, I guess you'd say cracks, where the principal is getting yelled at by parents because they weren't selected, where all of a sudden we'd go up and show up at a family's house, and the dad's gone. We have no idea where the dad is, and we're like, well, that's weird. The dads are never there. And what we began to realize is by us, in our goodwill, we had goodwill in our giving, we were directly taking the pride away from the parents in those families. We were saying, you can't provide for your family, and so we will. We'll provide for your family because you can't. And so in our goodwill and our giving, we were, you know, taking away that pride and that dignity and that empowerment from those families. And so with the growth that we've seen at the thrift store, we figured, man, we'll do something different this year. And so what we're going to do this Christmas season, and you guys saw the video last week at all the campuses, is you as the church body are going to be able to buy gifts and give those to the thrift store. And we're going to sell those at a marginal price to families in the community. That way they have skin in the game. That way they provide for themselves. Those that can't afford those gifts will be able to work and volunteer in the thrift store for vouchers. And with those vouchers, they can buy gifts for their families. So everybody's going to be able to be part of that process. And in that, you're going to see pride. You're going to see dignity restored in families. This is a model that we took from thrift stores throughout the nation that are doing this. And then in that process, you guys have the chance to serve alongside them. So you can go down to the thrift store. We need help with gift wrapping stations. So as the families buy something, you can be there talking with them and wrap their gifts. We need help with like creating ornaments and crafts for these kids. So as the parents are shopping, the kids can make their parents something. We need help. We want to have a family portrait, kind of as the family goes, they can get a picture taken. You want to bake cookies, you tell me what you want to do, we can do it. And so that's one way as a church we're going to provide an outlet for you guys. It can look totally different outside of that though. What if each one of the campuses here at the Well partners with a school, an elementary school? What if you adopted one of the classrooms and just said, we want to be a blessing to the classroom? Maybe it's a Christmas party. Maybe you're buying little gifts for each kid in the classroom. I don't know what it's going to look like. I talked to a life group leader last night, and they were doing that exact thing. One of their life group members is a teacher down in the southeast area of town. And so as a life group, they're going to support that teacher and buy like shoe boxes full of little goodies for each kid in the classroom. That's their way locally what they're going to do to give. That's how they're going to represent the Magi. That's how they're going to represent Christ and his coming to this earth this Christmas season. I go, amen. Could it look like internationally? So that's locally, internationally, what could it look like? We're sending a team to Thailand in January. We're going to go every 6 months. In Thailand, we're working with this great organization we really believe in as a church, ITDP, and they help hill tribe villages get out of poverty. What if this Christmas season, your giving provided water for a village that never had running water? Could you understand what that's like? You never have running water. So every time you want water, you got to literally walk miles, just get water to brush your teeth, take a shower, do any of those bare necessities. And when you get fresh water, fresh water gets rid of 60% of preventable diseases. And so you could be a part of giving, and your money could change a village's life this Christmas season. That is one way internationally you could be a part of that. You could sponsor a child and give that as a gift to people around you. So that's something you could do internationally. World Vision, if you guys have seen it, World Vision does this gift catalog. You can also give online where you could give like an ox. You could give like chickens and you name it, a bike. You could take care of women and sex trafficking through giving this Christmas season. And you could even give those as gifts to your family members of going, hey, I bought a family a cow for you. How awesome. How awesome would that be? That's a way you could give. There's another organization, Kiva. They give out small microfinance loans to people, poor people, to help them get on their own feet. You could give a gift, a $50 Kiva loan that's going to help a guy purchase bikes to rickshaw people around. And you could do that this Christmas season by your giving. And the final thing I'd tack on there for giving is understanding that as we buy stuff this Christmas season, as we, take care of those that we love, that as we give, we are voting with our dollars. So when you buy something, you are just by your nature of buying it, you're saying, I believe in this company, I believe in what they're doing, I believe in how they take care of their people, and you are voting with your dollars every time you buy something. And so even understanding that you could buy something from a company that's a nonprofit, that is doing great work and taking care of their people. And so you could buy necklaces. One of the organizations is Subai. They make these beautiful necklaces and jewelry for women. You could buy something from that company, and that funds is going to go to help that woman with literacy classes, help them with English classes, to help them have an income and a job. So as you vote, instead of buying from Target and Walmart and other these places, they're not bad, but you could vote and put your money somewhere else and going, by buying something here, I'm going to change somebody's life this Christmas season. So those are ways, as we spend less and as we give more, that I hope you guys can understand what we're trying to get out this Christmas season, that we're going to take the model the Magi laid out for us, that we're going to say, man, they gave. They gave costly. They gave of all the time they had to sacrifice, and they gave of their resources. And that when we do things this Christmas season, we're going to try. We're going to try and see what it looks like. What is it going to look like to spend less, to be like a kid again? What is it going to look like to give and just radically change somebody's life in this city, in this world? We are excited about what that's going to look like. We're excited about that. And it's a lot to swallow. I threw a lot out there. I understand. And so what I hope you guys can do is this week, tonight, is that you guys can sit down and you can just go, what is this going to look like for me? How am I as an individual, how are we as a family, how are we as a life group going to put this into practice? How can we do that this time? And we've designed something to help you in that process. What you'll notice is that at the front of all the campuses are these tables, and on these tables are these cards. The idea with it, they look like this. The idea is that we want to give you guys a time to respond, to go, what can I do? What is one thing I can do? Maybe it's a word. Maybe it's a sentence. What do you want to do? What do you want to see happen? And just like we do communion here at the Well, you're going to come forward. This is a response time to say, God, what are you laying on my heart? How can I spend less? How can I give more? And what do you want to see happen in this community? And so as we close the service and as we move into worship, that's what you're going to see. I want you guys to come forward and to write something on here. You're going to drop them in the boxes at the front. It's just a great time to respond and say, Lord, I want to spend less. I want to be refreshed as we do Christmas this year and really see you move in our family. So let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, you are good, Lord, and we love you. And this is a high challenge and a high call, and this is a whole mindset shift. And we just pray that you would begin to work in us, Lord, that you'd begin to work in our lives and do something miraculous this Christmas season with our families. Pray that we would be intentional as a church, as a congregation, to do something this Christmas season, to figure out what is it going to look like in our context to spend less and to give more. Lord, we know you are a giving God, and we want to follow your example. We want to follow the Magi's example, Lord. We love you, and we thank you for the pattern you've laid out for us, Lord. Amen.